Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For Kansas City, another reason why you should have been rooting for the Jets is because I think this one seed race is down to two teams, just like that. I think it's the Chiefs and it's the Bills. I understand the Steelers are leading the AFC North. I just think when we talk about what it's going to take to be a number one seed this year, I think it's going to take 14 wins. And do you guys honestly believe the Steelers can get to 14 wins? Their schedule toughens up. I just don't. And now you take a look at a Texans team that has three losses that is honestly just not playing good football. They'll get Nico Collins here soon back from the IR, but that team has problems. You know, like, it's one thing for us to pinpoint stuff on the Chiefs, but they're winning games while doing it. They also do have a track record of figuring it out. I don't know if D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud figure this thing out. Their offensive line can't protect them. That's leading to bad quarterback play. They don't have receivers healthy right now. They just lost to the Jets last night. This is a Texans team that, to me, is in a bad spot suddenly. I don't think they have shown us that they are a legit contender. And coming into the season, I thought they were. To this point, I haven't seen anything that suggests that that's where they're at. C.J. Stroud, I don't want to say he's overrated. That's silly. But he's regressed a little bit because things have gotten tougher for him, and we haven't seen him make the big adjustment yet. I'm not saying he can't do that in his career, but we haven't seen him, when he's facing more adversity like he is now, elevate his game. And that's what the great ones do, and he hasn't done that. And if you take a look at just the simple win-losses and what's ahead, the Chiefs get the Bills and Texans head-to-head, but from a loss column standpoint, I don't see anybody but the Chiefs or Bills being the number one seed when this thing is done. And even the odds that are out there would tell you that's the case. The Chiefs are minus 340 bank to be a number one seed. The Bills are plus 550. Texans are all the way down to 16-1 to be the one seed. And the Ravens are 20-1.
And the good thing about it is the Chiefs have a chance to put the nail in the coffin. Several teams. Going to Buffalo is going to be tough. I mean, that is the toughest game, in my opinion, on the schedule left for the Chiefs, because we know the Bills get up for these games in the regular season, not the postseason, as we know, but the regular season, they get up for this game. But Chiefs are in the back of their heads, man. That in the Texans game, Chiefs can put that nail in the coffin. Yeah, but you look at this AFC, and I'm with you, because can you really theoretically find a way for the Chiefs to lose four games this year? I mean, I think that's a stretch of imagination, and I do think Andy Reid will rest players at the end of the year. That's why being undefeated is going to be so tough if that's what happens.
Oh, if they're undefeated, I don't think he'll rest.
He values the rest more than anything. But look at the Ravens. You know, everybody's All-Americans. Mm-hmm. They are four games behind the Chiefs, and we're talking a 17-game NFL schedule, and that is incredibly tough to make that up, especially with the Chiefs' schedule going forward. Three losses in the loss column, plus the head-to-head. They're theoretically four games ahead of the Ravens. The Texans, yeah, they're 6-3. They're playing better because I've seen so many teams be good, then all of a sudden be bad. Remember Blake Bortles and the Jags? Thought, okay, this team's going to take some steps. They make it to the AFC title game, boom, they fell apart. And then they had to rebuild. Then Doug Peterson comes in, wins the playoff game. Boom, they've taken a step back. Can D'Amico Ryans, and I always thought he could be that guy going forward, but
I still think he is.
I do too. I like D'Amico Ryans when it is defensively, especially. And he's been dealing with the wide receiver injuries. But the one thing about the Chiefs that we got to respect is, and they won't respect us nationally, they find a way to win with less. And good teams find a way to win with less. Like C.J. Stroud going out there last night without Nico Collins, without Stephon Diggs. This is Mahomes' problems every week. And you have to elevate that talent and find a way to win the game. And that's one thing the Chiefs have been able to do, is keep things within one score. As I mentioned to you guys beforehand, Mahomes only lost four games in his career by more than one score, which is incredible. But to take those guys and find a way to win, or have your coach say, okay, I'm going to scheme and put 14 personnel. I'm going to throw Jody Fortz in here off the scrap heap so I can have four tight ends in a game. And I know he's hurt, and he's expecting Peyton Hendershot coming up, to be honest with you. But finding a way to win with less, and I haven't seen other guys. It's been a detriment to other quarterbacks. Mahomes, we want him to have the best, but he's finding a way to win with less. And we're waiting for C.J. Stroud and these guys to say, okay, I understand your receivers are hurt. That's fine. Well, everybody has these problems.
Yeah, we'll see what the adjustment is for him. Also, I think the Jets have his number. He's played them twice. Last year, they got blown out by the Jets. And he was sacked four times and didn't have good numbers. Last night, we saw how that played out. Once again, he wasn't protected by his offensive line. They struggled to move the football. So some of it is, hey, the Jets kind of have his number. The other part is, yeah, with the half the season to go, what's the adjustment that the Texans make to show that they're that kind of team? Otherwise, it's going to be viewed as a disappointing season down in Houston. Where a lot of people thought that they were ready to take that next step. To this point, they haven't. As far as the Chiefs, and you were right, just kind of doing the math on the Ravens, you know, do you think, are the Ravens going to actually win out? Are the Chiefs going to lose four of the remaining 10? That's why the Ravens are out of the picture. The Texans aren't to that extent. They're not four back. But it basically means, depending on what the Chiefs do the next month, the Texans Chiefs game head to head is almost an automatic must win for the Texans in that spot. Depending on what the Chiefs' record, and it may not even matter at that point if the Chiefs are still undefeated. It doesn't matter what happens head to head. I just don't think the Texans are going to get there. So it's a two horse race. We know the Chiefs have the Bucs, the Broncos, then at Buffalo, at Carolina, home against the Raiders, Chargers, at Cleveland, and then it's that stretch home against Texans, at Pittsburgh, and at Denver to wrap up the season. But last night was a great result if you're a Chiefs fan. I mean, even if the Jets get hot for a little bit and you want to walk through that scenario of them somehow sneaking in, nobody's fearful of the New York Jets at all. Even if they find a way to sneak into 9 or 10 wins and rattle off a bunch, which I'm not so sure they're going to do. They're still a 3-6 football team that just beat a Texans team that's not playing good football right now.
But everybody likes it. Same. What happened is what we talked about. They get false hope. Like, give the Jets false hope, because they were. I mean, they're celebrating on the field. Oh, my God, look at us. We win. They're 3-6. People are talking about it nationally. Like, people actually waste their breath on the Jets talking about them going forward. Well, can they turn their season around now? They're 3-6. Can they do that? That's just the statement of where we are in the NFL when everybody's craving anything New York. To be honest with you, I'm sick of New York teams being in prime time.
Oh, I love Giants, this week, though, for them. The Giants suck. The Yankees lost in the World Series. The Jets finally won a football game.
I'm tired of watching them all the time. By the way, you get to see the Giants on Thanksgiving. That's going to ruin your day. That and the Cowboys game, that's terrible. The Cowboys, I'm just tired of watching New York teams, but this is what you want to happen. You want them to have that false hope. You want them to keep Devontae. You don't want them trading off other pieces that go to a contender. That was my big thing. Like, you want to see the Jets hold on to these guys and not jettison them, no pun intended, to other teams that could help them, you know, fortify their roster. You want to see them keep winning. It was like the Rams when they won last week. You know, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see the Rams win because I wanted to see Cooper Kupp remain in L.A. Like, I wanted to see – I didn't want to see him with another team. And you're sitting there watching it going, why would they trade anybody? They're technically still in the race. Keep him there. Like, I want to keep players on teams because you look at the big picture. I know we have the trade deadline coming up here on the 5th, but keep players on their teams, not helping other teams out, which I think is great. So, yeah, I root for the teams to make themselves think they have a chance so they hold on to their talent.
Suddenly, also in the AFC South, now it requires the Colts to get going. They now have Joe Flacco starting, not Anthony Richardson, which is an upgrade. The Colts have a really tough game on Sunday Night Football against the Vikings. Are we sure the Texans are just going to run away with the AFC South all of a sudden? So they're 6-3. We just talked about them. The Colts are 4-4. Really tough game against the Vikes on Sunday. So they could fall to 4-5. All right, the Jags are 2-6. Titans are 1-6. But could the Colts make this thing interesting in the AFC South all of a sudden? I believe the Colts will end up being a playoff team. I didn't predict them to win the division, but if the Texans are going to continue having problems like this, they can't win away from home. They're undefeated at home, the Texans are, but they're 2-3 on the road already this season, including last night's loss. So I think the Colts have an opportunity. If they were to upset the Vikings on Sunday, then suddenly we're talking about the Colts having a real chance in that division. The problem for the Colts is they can't have a tiebreaker. They've already lost, I believe, both games. I think they've already played the Texans twice. I know they lost one. Maybe they only played once. But
the crucial thing is two of the worst teams in the AFC are in their division. Yeah, I mean, having Jacksonville and Tennessee in your division is perfect.
The Colts lost in week one, and they just lost this past week. So the Colts have to finish with a better record than the Texans.
Maybe you say, well, with Joe Flacco, that actually is a possibility. I mean, there's still obviously a lot of
much better chance with Joe Flacco than Anthony Richardson. That's for sure.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.